Welcome to the So Why podcast with Step Care Solutions. This podcast aims to explore issues and challenges, as well as ideas and solutions leading to strengthening support for mental wellness and recovery. My name is Alexa Bull, Knowledge Exchange Manager at Step Care Solutions, and I will be your host for this episode. In this episode, we will explore the intentional efforts of Step Care 2.0 to infuse social justice into the fabric of its client-centric model of practice. We will also discuss some of the challenges and barriers that impact diversity, equity, and inclusion, and what can help us move past those challenges, and how reconceptualizing how we think about equitable systems can help us take new and meaningful approaches to address the human element of the system and avoid repeating the same mistakes of the past in new ways. With growing recognition that mental health systems of care are long overdue for a comprehensive and ambitious overhaul, new and innovative approaches are stepping up to accept the challenge. There is an ongoing discussion around how to best incorporate diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the system to provide effective and equitable care for everyone. This question seems to be a challenge that many struggle to address in an authentic and reflective way. There is a tendency to miss the human factor when aiming to address structural and systems issues. A lack of understanding of personal bias, perceptions, emotional intelligence, and sometimes the willingness to have crucial yet uncomfortable conversations are examples of how this human factor often gets missed in the process. Bold in its approach, Step Care 2.0 uses a synergistic philosophy as its foundation on which to build a system of care. Rooted in Indigenous or traditional worldviews, synergy is globally defined as interconnectedness, interdependence, or cooperation, or simply put, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. From this vantage point, the use of the term synergy aims to go beyond the boundaries of diversity, equity, and inclusion and be a constant reminder of humanity's connectedness. Synergy requires seeing the whole person, their uniqueness, strengths, and various cultural contexts, as well as their connection to others. It means seeing all aspects of the system, the parts we welcome and those we may struggle to acknowledge or accept. Therefore, Step Care 2.0 requires a commitment from all aspects of a mental health system to work together for solutions that look, behave, and feel very different. To explore this topic today, we are joined by Dr. Jillian Berry, a published author and a licensed clinical social worker in the District of Columbia and the state of Maryland, with over 35 years of experience as an educator and practitioner. She has overseen the counseling and psychological services at George Washington University, leading a multidisciplinary team of mental health professionals through the implementation of the Step Care 2.0 approach to service delivery. As Director of Clinical Social Work Services, Dr. Berry currently provides professional consultation, supervision, training, and direct services for a variety of human services agencies, including child welfare and mental health agencies in the Washington, D.C., metropolitan area. She is currently the Vice President of Culture and Diversity at Step Care Solutions. We are so excited today to speak with Dr. Jillian Berry. So welcome, Jillian, to the So Why podcast. We're so excited to have you here with us today.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Amazing. So we have a few questions for you about synergy and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we are really excited to learn about this new concept today. But first, let's start out. I just want to ask about what are some of the challenges and barriers that impact diversity, equity, and inclusion? And what can help us move past some of those barriers?
I know we're on a time limit. And I'm saying that because this is a really, really big subject area. You know, diversity, equity, and inclusion affects all aspects of our life, you know, from entertainment to education to politics. I mean, there's just so many areas that it touches. And we can't ignore or try to kind of deny that the system and current structure that we have was developed from a system which was unfair. It wasn't about equality when the foundations were being laid, and it needed that in order to survive. So what that means is where we are today in 2022 is a recognition of those inequalities. Because thankfully, most of us have moved to a place where we recognize what inequality has done. It has affected negatively societies, from homelessness to, you know, lack of education, in insurance, in, I mean, there's just so many different areas. And so as a result, we are recognizing that. And there is a commitment to want to build structures moving forward that are fair and just and supportive and encouraging, regardless of who you are.
Thank you so much for that. So I know that we have this concept of synergy at Step Care Solutions and as a part of Step Care 2.0. Can you tell me a little bit about the concept and term synergy? What does that mean?
It means, for me, that interconnectedness. It means that everybody plays a part. So once you recognize your part in a wider system, you're recognizing your value, your self-worth, you know, your contribution. And so one part of the system should be able to recognize each part is valuable in the same way, because we wouldn't be able to achieve the overall goal. So synergy is that recognition we're all in this together. It brings a sense of humility. Everybody has a part to play. Some parts of our society likes to ignore or deny or to devalue that recognition. But for me, to go to my dentist, who's really passionate, you know, when I walk in, she goes, "Oh, how's your number 2 teeth?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, the last time I saw you was 6 months ago and you're still remembering that." And I think that comes from a real passion. I had some work done in my house, and the guy who did my wallpaper, he'd been doing wallpaper for about 30 years. And the joy that he had in trying to communicate to me how he was hanging the wallpaper, I mean, just blew my mind, because it was like, oh my gosh. But he had a real science to what he was doing, and he really valued what he was doing. And I appreciate that. So for me, a synergy is that recognition that each one of us contributes so much to making the whole. And that comes with it a humility, a real sense of, I really value and respect what you can contribute to me. And that means that I'm recognizing differences, I'm recognizing diversity, and seeing how that can complement my life.
That's really interesting. I really enjoy listening to you talk about, you know, synergy and what that means. It sounds like synergy really values and celebrates differences.
Absolutely.
And as they work together. And I'm wondering, so how does this whole concept of celebrating differences and including differences and working together, having different skills and talents and passions all come together? How do you think that synergy helps to overcome some of the problems presented in the inequity of our system that you mentioned earlier?
Oh, I was privileged to be able to go on safari. And I went to a place called Okavango Delta in Botswana. And it is one of the last places on Earth which they have tried to leave to nature. So nature is able to flourish in so many different ways. And one of the scenes that I remember so vividly is seeing a rhino, and then there was a bird, and I actually forget what kind of bird it was, on top of the rhino, and it would pick little fleas from the rhino. And then you had monkeys who were around, and it seemed so harmonious. It seemed so peaceful. Because there were all these animals with all their uniqueness and their diversity, recognizing that they needed each other. It was complementary. So the bird served a purpose for the rhino. So it wasn't going to kind of throw it off. Perhaps when it was, you know, hungry or annoyed, it would. But there was a recognition that they all worked together. And I came away from that experience really seeing how nature complements each other. So many of us forget that we are of nature and we're part of this wonderful, wonderful system that we have, and we bring with it that same diversity. So the wonderful artists that we have who brighten up our life with their music and their songs. I mentioned my dentist, the skill that she has in order to fix my tooth so it doesn't hurt. I mean, that's just phenomenal for me. And, you know, we all complement each other. And if that was her passion and her joy, that has helped me. On a wider context, we recognize that our society has labeled people with disabilities, people who have a different sexual orientation, people of varying shades of pigmentation. We have labeled them negatively. And that has meant that we have not been able to recognize the value that that brings to our society as a whole. Once we've accepted that and then built structures and systems around that, that has supported a belief that some people are not good enough. And as a result, that may have negatively impacted not that just that person, but it also has impacted whether they want to, people in positions of power, whether they want to recognize it or not. I think James Baldwin said it so well. You know, they don't really see what the negative that has done to them, because they aren't able to recognize the value that of being connected to the wider society.
I think that's such a beautiful story, and it really connects really well into this whole concept and idea of synergy and complementing each other and recognizing the value of that interconnectedness.
Yes.
I love that. And wouldn't the mental health system and broader society
Absolutely.
Be so wonderful if we could recognize the value of difference and the value of the interconnectedness, just like you saw in your safari,
yeah.
you know, in Botswana. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. So I'm wondering if we can move it to Step Care 2.0 a little bit and look at how can the concept of synergy be applied through the Step Care 2.0 model as we reimagine how mental health systems can work to provide equitable care.
Absolutely. You know, when we talk about synergy, as I've tried to kind of communicate, is that connectedness. But it's not just on a micro level, it's on a macro level, a really wide berth, so that we can see so clearly the interconnectedness. So if we think about a spider's web, we can see all parts of that web working together in order to catch a fly. When we think about synergy and its relationship to Step Care 2.0, we can think about a mental health system with its diversity in terms of the service. First and foremost, it's about recognizing that we have a gold standard that has been set and established by our, you know, the key proponents in the field of psychology. So Freud, when he had his client laid out on the couch, you know, that has kind of been seared into movies and become legendary about what the field of psychology is all about. So when people think about, I need counseling, they think about that couch. And that is considered to be the gold standard in mental health care. Now, what that means is, you know, like most people, I want the best. I want the best that's out there. If I'm dealing with a psychological issue and I want to talk about it, I want to go and receive the best. And that may be presented in our society as being what we should aim for. Now, as being in the field, in the mental health field for the past, 35 years, I'm having to acknowledge, yes, I do see the worth in that. Absolutely. It gives people the time, the focus, the attention that can really help somebody process what's going on for them. But being mindful of that scene in my head from witnessing the animals cohabiting safari on safari, so too does knowing that a client can receive support at a knitting circle, at a drum circle, in a sweat lodge, by speaking honestly with family members, with friends. Our community is so diverse. We may miss aspects of our society that can be empowering, that can be supportive, that can move us in a direction which we wouldn't have even thought of before. But that means shifting from what many of us hold so dearly as that gold standard. So it means recognizing that it may look different, it may feel different. So we have to be able to begin to, let's say, transform. And as Peter Cornish, the founder of StepCare 2.0, likes to say, it's a paradigm shift. We have to be able to shake it up so we can begin to say, let's see it differently. Now, many of us can be so invested in our system, our current mental health system, that the idea of thinking that it can be done differently can be so enormous, can be scary, can be frightening. It can be one that we don't want to face. Many people are just thinking, I just want to get my paycheck at the end of the day and go on my vacations, two or three times a year. I don't want to think about, looking at the system that we have and the enormity of being able to say we want to change how we're doing it. So one of the things about StepCare 2.0 is about that very thoughtful and intentional shift in order to make that a reality. That means that we're going to offer a whole buffet of mental health services so that people can be supportive in determining what is most appropriate for them. Now, that is very empowering, and it places that person in control of their mental health. So to start off by saying, okay, you're saying that you want one-on-one. Is that really what you want? So let's think about alternatives. Let's think about whether you may get support from, let's say, reading an article, reading a book, getting information, from specific, sources, or even thinking outside of that. That can be support. I recommended earlier that somebody who has a passion for writing pens, I suggested a blog or website that they can tap into, because this is something that this person has been passionate about and gives them a great deal of pleasure. Then if it's given you pleasure, I'm sure there's other people out there. And, for somebody thinking that they're, a geek and antisocial because they have this specific interest, well, part of their well-being is about being supported who share their views. Why come to me? And yes, I can be hopefully supportive, but they may get more. And I, as a professional, also need to be able to recognize that. The other aspects is by being able to say, yes, we're going to be able to provide you with information. We may be able to look at e-mental health platforms. We may be able to look at groups and workshops. I mean, there's so many different areas in StepCare 2.0 where we can begin to say some of your well-being needs can be met in that context, as well as that one-on-one or that inpatient care. It really does depend on the client and the clinician being able to develop a plan which is centered around what is most appropriate for that, that client. Now, when we bring in diversity, that, you know, many people can say, oh my gosh, that really does throw a different light on that. But what does that mean? It means that diversity in our mental health system can bring about and elicit so many different feelings. We can start off with that the structure of many mental health organized systems and structures may not have considered or thought about the needs of a diverse community. We also have about the diversity in terms of people. People who may come from differing viewpoints. That also means that we begin to say, is it fair for us as a mental health institution to say we meet the needs of all people? If our presentation in terms of the images we have on the walls, in terms of our staffing, in terms of our policies and procedures, is that reflective of a variety or diversity of the populace that we aim to serve? It doesn't necessarily mean that we stop with just having images that are reflective, but it also means that we actually have to look at our staffing and the policies and procedures that we have in place. What does that mean? If a member of our community that we hope to serve is a single parent, they may not be able to meet a clinician during the day. It may also mean that we have to think about the services and the hours of our service. It also means to have that previous, I talked about this gold standard, that you have a session the same time every week for, you know, however long is deemed necessary. But for a single parent or somebody whose time is so precious, they may not have that time. So the idea of being able to have one at a time sessions that is geared towards meeting that specific clinical need at that time, that can also address that structural issues that has been a barrier in the mental health system at meeting the diverse needs of the community. When we, you know, when synergy is applied, what that means is that when the policymakers are in a room, their thinking should allow them to see that wider perspective of some of the decisions that they're making. So for me, it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to have a person of color in that room, a person who is, let's say, has disability needs, somebody who has a different sexual orientation. What you're focusing on is recognition that a service that truly needs to meet the needs of the community is as diverse in its outlook and its philosophy. So people need to be able to speak. So as a person of color, for me, it should not be left just to me to be the cultural voice in at the meeting. Other people should be raising that. And there should be a recognition by that society that it shouldn't have to be the person of color or the person with a disability or the person of a different sexual orientation, etc., in order to raise those issues. Our thinking should be as diverse for me, as I saw in that safari in Botswana.
That's wonderful. So, you know, I heard things like examining our expectations, shifting what we think of as the gold standard, challenging ourselves to push through the fear of trying to think differently or thinking outside of what we know, which can be really, really scary as well. And then thinking about time and addressing structural issues as well. And I love how you brought up recognizing that services need to be as diverse as the people it aims to serve, and that we have to challenge the system-wide. So challenging that status quo system-wide. So anybody should be able to consider a diverse group or consider somebody other than themselves or other than people who have the same abilities as them or the same look as them to think outside of what they know and make sure that different perspectives are included.
Absolutely. I love telling this story. You know, my mother, I'm from England. People should be able to tell by my accent. But my mother was ill when I was a child. I'm one of six. And she went to hospital, and the wonderful National Health Service that we have in England recommended that my mother go into a hotel to relax for a couple of months before she came back to care for her children after she had an operation. And we, as young children, knew that she had gone away. And obviously we were sad, but social services put in place what they call an aunt. We called her a social aunt. So that she came to the home, you know, 9 to 5 while my dad was at work. And she was a very elderly woman, Mrs. White, very grandmotherly in her outlook. But what was, you know, when I was growing up, and I'm giving my age away here, during the 60s, racism was very blatant. So we had the equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan, the National Front, who used to hold marches every single week. Every Saturday, they would march from the GP of the local community, the general practitioner. He was at the front of the march, marching, saying that all these immigrants needed to be kicked out of the country. She came into our home, and she made us feel like children. She was so wonderful. We were allowed to play. We ranged from, my sister was a little child at the time, just a newborn, to my older brother, who was about 9 or 10. And we could play. She would take us to the park. She had a car. We could, you know, we could go places. And she would bring, you know, fish fingers, which was very different from the Caribbean food that my mother used to cook. But what I think I'm trying to communicate is that despite what was going on in the local community, she did not bring that into our home. And my memories of her, you know, decades later, is filled with a professionalism that she brought to her job, which was to care for us in a way that made us feel loved and supported and nurtured, to the extent that when my mother we were told our mother was coming home, we were like, no, let us stay longer, because she made us feel so special. And for me, a profession that is about well-being, we want people to be able to see and recognize their self-worth, which means that as a profession, as an individual professional, we are able to meet and see the clinical needs of everybody who comes in requiring support. That's our goal. Now, that may mean, I don't know what Mrs. White did. I don't know how we collect evidence on that, because I know my father didn't put in an evaluation once her, you know, tour of duty was over. My dad was busy trying to, you know, make sure that, you know, my mom was okay and the household was running. But that quality is difficult in times to quantify, but that's what we're looking at. There's so many things in our profession that we have to recognize is invaluable. And I think Peter, Dr. Cornish does a really good job of articulating it. Obviously, it means developing the clinical judgment and being able to listen. And these, you know, many of these things can appear so simple. But in our current structures, a system may be so invested in maintaining their structure that they may miss aspects of what needs to change in their system.
That's amazing. I love your story of the social aunt.
Yes.
I think, you know, recognizing people as people. And, you know, what a wonderful example of professionalism and displaying the love and care and support that really we need throughout the mental health and addictions sector.
Absolutely.
And system. What an excellent example of that. And what a neat approach, you know, to medical care for your mom, to have that support come in. That's really, really unique.
That was then. There's a lot of changes that's taken place. But I think in our profession, we need to value and recognize those are the things that can make a difference in somebody's life. From the smile at the receptionist, even on Zoom or in some of our online platforms, can make a difference to a client who's come in through our door for the first time. To be able to recognize the importance of that can make a difference.
Amazing. I think about, the fact that every interaction can be an intervention.
Absolutely. Yes.
When you were talking about, from the smile, the body language, the responses, mm-hmm. all of those things can be interventions.
If I can talk a little bit more about that, because what did it take for Mrs. White to ignore or deny or avoid, bring in what was going on in terms of blatant racism and not bring that into our home? That to me is what was so wonderful. We had a mango because, it was a treasured possession at that time because, anything that was imported into England was very, very expensive. So when my parents could afford that, to purchase that fruit, it was treated as a delicacy. And I remember Mrs. White had never seen it, but she didn't, humiliate us or didn't deny it. It was like, what is this? Help me to understand what it is. And there was a real humility about her engagement, which I think is what has meant me and my siblings still hold so dearly because of that experience. So as practitioners, clinicians in the mental health field, we will never get to a point where we know all the nuances of a specific culture. Obviously, we want to be competent and have some element of awareness about somebody else's culture. But the expectation is that our goal is to be able to hear how a client interprets that and start from there. And that comes with a real sense of humility and ability to listen to what somebody else is saying.
That's really interesting, bringing the whole sense of curiosity and humility into, mm-hmm. Interactions with each other throughout the system, mm-hmm. genuinely wanting to understand other people's perspectives and what might work for them, might be different yes. than what might work for someone
Absolutely.
Else. And accepting that that's okay.
Absolutely. But so many organizations and individual clinicians may take offense at that. They may take offense. And that's not what this is about. This is about recognizing diversity. And the more we recognize it, the more we can begin to grow in our understanding and awareness to build structures that truly mean our words match our actions.
I love that. A lot of reflection for all of us and thinking about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And are there other ways of doing it that could maybe be better, maybe be different, but nonetheless, maybe effective for somebody somehow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to appreciate your time today. It's been a fantastic conversation. And before we end our conversation, I also want to sort of just ask an open-ended question that is there anything else you'd really like to leave us with today with regards to this topic?
One of the things I love about using a synergistic approach, it aims to be to help us see our connection with each other. And by focusing on what we have in common, we'll quite very quickly be shown that it will outweigh the differences that we have. And when we can focus on working with our commonality and how we are all in this together, then for me, we are going towards building that society we say that we want. So it's not just in that mental health field. I'm a great advocate from this approach, which, and I think you were very clear in the beginning, when we talk about synergy, it is rooted in a philosophical worldview that is all encompassing of a holistic perspective. Now, that is unifying in itself. So whether you're in Australia, New Zealand, Africa, India, there is a philosophical outlook which is shared amongst groups around the world that have a connectedness with the earth. So you'll see that in different practices that say the Native Americans or the First Nation or Aboriginals or Indigenous people, they have that outlook, which is inclusive, incorporates, is interwoven, interconnectedness with the earth, the seasons, the weather, the you know, every aspect of it. So it's unifying, even though it may manifest differently depending on where you are in the world. When we take a step back and can see that connectedness, so even though somebody else may describe something as, you know, A, but somebody over here describes it as B or Z or P, when you recognize it's all part of the alphabet, then you can say, ah, okay, I can see how it fits into the whole. So synergy is a recognition that, yes, I, person of color, I happen to be female. What that means is that I have been labeled in this society for a myriad of reasons. I don't necessarily have to accept it. I can challenge it, I can question it, but I don't want a system to build structures around a perception of me as a woman and a person of color, because that's what they're saying I should have. As an individual in need of, let's say, mental health services, I want to be seen in the context that I'm bringing.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much again for your contributions today. It's been an amazing conversation. I have learned so much from you. Thank you once again for joining us.
It's been a pleasure to be here. And anytime, I'll be more than happy to come back and talk more. Thank you.
Thank you once again for joining us on the So Why podcast of Step Care Solutions. For more information on the Step Care 2.0 model, the Wellness Together Canada portal, as well as links to resources mentioned in this episode, please check out the show notes below. Thanks for tuning in once again. We look forward to having you back next time.